again, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, January the 4th, 2018. 1-4-18, 15 minutes past 1 o'clock. Scott Spears along with you here on WWGH Radio. Wanted to remind you that starting tomorrow, we have a new program here on WWGH Radio, starting at 11:10 a.m. It's the Protector Show with Ed Johnston. Adam Lepp will co-host and produce that program. It's a show about online safety. The Protector Show with Ed Johnston starting tomorrow, Friday, 11:10 a.m. here on WWGH Radio. That will join the other programs that will be on tomorrow morning. The Theology Guys with Pastor Brett Cornelius and Pastor Rhett Crabtree from 10:10 until 11 a.m. Then we'll have the Protector Show from 11:10 a.m. till 12 p.m. Exchange Club from 12:10 to 1. That's Marge Hazelett, Charlie Evers, and myself. And then the Charlie Evers Show from 1:10 until 3 tomorrow. So a big full day here on WWGH Radio. And don't forget, every Sunday, the Heaven Express program from 4:10 till 6 p.m., Paul and Glenna Savage. Now, we have a little bit of time here this hour for open phone line conversation. Haven't had much of a chance to do this as of recent time, but anything strike you interesting from the conversation in hour number one with Larry Merchant? 740-383-9944. Anything on your mind, give me a call. 740-383-9944. What do you think of this new book that's going to come out of Steve Bannon's? Do you think this is going to help President Trump or hurt him? Apparently, the president does not like it, as he is already trying to get the book stopped. So, what do you think? Do you think he'll get the book stopped? Do you believe what Steve Bannon has to say? Why do you think he's writing this book and calling Donald Trump Jr.'s actions treasonous? Kind of peculiar. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call. Would love to hear your opinion. It's bizarre situation, but always interesting stuff to talk about. Now, call in anytime. Over the holiday, the Christmas holiday, I got a book. And I enjoy books like these. It's Strange History, Mysterious Artifacts, Macabre Legends, Boneheaded Blunders, and Mind-Blowing Facts. And it's an interesting book because it's got a lot of fascinating stuff in it that maybe you'd be interested in. Let's see here. Here's some of the facts in this book. Here's some facts about the silver screen, the big Hollywood. Elizabeth Taylor had 65 costume changes in the 1963 film Cleopatra. Clint Eastwood was drafted into the U.S. Army during the Korean War. An expert swimmer, he once swam 3 miles back to shore after his plane crashed in the Pacific Ocean. Did you know that about Clint Eastwood? Only Oscar to win an Oscar, writer-producer Oscar Hammerstein II. So only one person named Oscar has ever won an Oscar. Actual footage of the Hindenburg crash was shown in the 1937 comedy Charlie Chan at the Olympics. Have any of you seen the 1937 comedy Charlie Chan at the Olympics? Well, that is the original news footage of the Hindenburg crash. It cost $3 million to build the Titanic and $100 million to make the movie. Now, doesn't that seem strange? $3 million to build the actual ship, but only $100 million to make the movie, which ended up grossing all kinds of incredible amounts of money. But that's strange that the ship itself cost a lot more than the movie. Let's see here. Oh, here's, okay, Tickled to Death. This is under that heading. Roman Emperor Claudius I died in AD 54. Most historians claim that his wife, Julia Agrippina, tried to murder her husband by feeding him poison mushrooms. According to historians, that's not what did him in. Afterward, Claudius's doctor attempted to introduce vomiting by tickling his throat with a feather. The feather got stuck in the emperor's throat, and he choked to death. So somebody actually was tickled to death. Now see, what kind of doctor is that? Again, you can call in 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you have something you'd like to talk about, something interesting you'd like to bring up. You know, it's interesting. We talk a lot about gun control on this program, and we've had many, many, many conversations about it over the years. But you know, it's become apparent, I don't think that anything will ever be done when it comes to gun control. But it's kind of hard to isolate the reason. Now, most people will say it's the NRA and their money. But is it really a constitutional issue? We got into this a little bit before the holiday. Do you think that really what keeps us from enacting gun laws is the Constitution? Do you think that's what's really behind it? 740-383-9944. And it's a fascinating thing when you think about it, when you go down the track. Well, looked like we had a call coming in there. If that was you, give us a call back. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If that was you, give us a call back and we will get you up on the air to talk about whatever you would like to talk about, because it's always interesting to talk to you out there in listener land. Let's see here if we can find something else interesting in this book. Do you think the Steve Bannon book will sell well? I think that's going to be very interesting, because do you think the people who support the president are going to buy that book? Or do you think it's going to be all people who don't support the president? How do you see that coming down? I don't know. I see, I don't know if people will even believe it, because people tend not to believe stuff that is said about President Trump. But this is one of his friends, are one of his former friends. So I don't know. Will people be more inclined to believe it? I don't know. Maybe he just doesn't like his kids, and that's why he said the thing about his son doing something treasonous. I don't know. We talked about this last week a lot on our programs, but I'm still trying to figure out the law that's going to go into effect here in Ohio in March, that Governor Kasich has signed into law about the abortion of Down syndrome babies. That if you have a prenatal test and it's found that the baby has Down syndrome, that you cannot abort the child. Now, it's strange, because the woman, I guess, can abort the child, but the doctor could face jail time or receive a felony, or both. It would be on the doctor. But I guess you wouldn't, if you don't have a prenatal test, then it doesn't matter. It's very confusing. I don't quite understand it, because we have HIPAA laws and we have very strict security laws when it comes to medicals. So how would the government get access to the doctor's diagnosis, the prenatal test, that the baby had Down syndrome? And who's going to press the charges? Because I would think that somebody would have to tell on the doctor. And the only two people who would know about it, to my knowledge, would be the doctor and the woman. If the doctor does the prenatal test and the woman finds out it's a Down syndrome baby, and she chooses to go ahead and have the abortion, who's going to report that to the government to sue the doctor, or to prosecute the doctor? Because, I mean, I don't think the government is going to check every prenatal test that comes down the path. I don't know. What do you think about that? I still haven't quite figured that one out. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a ring. Certainly would love to hear your opinion. Now, here's an interesting bit of the book I was telling you about, the Strange History book. President Abraham Lincoln, in August of 1864, was almost assassinated. A would-be assassin took aim at Lincoln's head, but the bullet went straight through his tall top hat and missed his head completely. That was in August of 1864. You know, I do remember something about that. I think I've heard that story before, but I don't think I've heard this one. Almost assassinated, General and President Ulysses S. Grant. Less than a year later, on April 14, 1865, Lincoln was killed. He had his famous hat with him, but it was sitting on the floor. But it could have been even worse. Lincoln had invited General Grant and his wife, Julia, to accompany him and Mrs. Lincoln to Ford's Theater. The Grants declined. Had his assassination plot going according to plan, Carl Cyphicus writes in the Encyclopedia of Assassinations, John Wilkes Booth would have killed not only the president, but a future president as well, General Ulysses S. Grant. Why didn't the Grants go? Because Julia Grant detested Mary Lincoln. A few weeks earlier, while touring Grant's headquarters together, Mary snubbed Julia so many times in front of so many important people that Julia refused to spend another night in Mary's company. Grant biographer William S. McFeely writes, was left to make to the president the most classic and limp of excuses. He couldn't go because of the children. Well, I think we've all heard that story, that U.S. Grant was supposed to be with Lincoln the night at the theater, and he couldn't because of the children. Well, apparently that was all an excuse. The real reason was the wives did not get along. Interesting. Now, conspiracy theories are constant, and we hear them all the time. And one that has really crept up in the last few years is, did we really land on the moon? Well, here's a few takes on this. Did we really land on the moon? No, we didn't. I received a call from a Margaret Hardin of Portland, Oregon. She said that she had met a lady of the evening, let's say, in Reno in 1970, who admitted to her that two NASA engineers told her the moon trips were a hoax. Now, that's from Bill Kasing, author of We Never Went to the Moon, America's $30 Billion Swindle. Now, Jim Lovell, Apollo 13 commander, said, yes, we did. Bill Kasing is wacky. His position makes me feel angry. We spent a lot of time getting ready to go to the moon. We spent a lot of money. We took great risks, and it's something everybody in the country ought to be proud of. Then Bill Clinton said, no, we didn't. An old carpenter asked me if I really believed it happened. I said, sure, I saw it on television. He disagreed. He said that he didn't believe it for a minute and that them television fellers could make things look real that weren't. Back then, I thought he was a crank. During my 8 years in Washington, I saw some things on TV that made me wonder if he wasn't ahead of his time. That was Bill Clinton. Then, Dr. Robert Park, a psychiatrist, said, yes, we did. The body of physical evidence that humans did walk on the moon is simply overwhelming. And then Norman Mailer says, no, we didn't. The event was so removed, however, so unreal, that no objective correlative existed to prove it had not been an event staged in a television studio. The greatest con of the century. That was Norman Mailer. And then, yes, we did, says Bobby Charles, NASA Oversight Committee 1999. Who are these Looney Tunes who do not believe in science, history, personal endeavor, heroic feats, and rock-solid facts? Forgive me, but I find these folks an utter waste of time that didn't happen crowd. I wish they'd just all go back in their beer and shuffleboard and wondering if the earth really not after all is going around the sun. Now, okay, did we really land on the moon? Now, it seems like a crazy question, but you know, one question I've always had about that is that, and I'm not in general by nature a conspiracy theorist, but the moon has no gravity. So, when they planted the flag on the moon, the American flag, how did the flag wave? Because there would have been no wind and no gravity. Why wouldn't the flag just have went straight down? Does that strike anybody odd? I don't know. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a ring and we will get you up on the air and hear what you have to say. Now, break in to my conversation anytime if you have something to say. 740-383-9944, 33 minutes past the hour. Now, how about a real-life Frankenstein? Jonathan Dipple was a theologian and troublemaker. Born in 1673 in the real Castle Frankenstein in Germany, he may have served as an inspiration for Mary Shelley's 1818 novel Frankenstein. Working in his lab, Dipple whipped up a concoction of human bones, blood, and bodily fluids that he called the Elixir of Life. The drinker, he claimed, would live forever. He also discovered that his elixir, when combined with potassium carbonate, made a useful dye known today as Persian blue. There's no evidence that Dipple tried to stitch body parts together, but he was fond of putting legs, arms, heads, and torsos, both animals and humans, into huge vats of and boiling them down in hope of, as he called it, engendering life in the dead. The resulting stench angered the townspeople. They demanded that he end the grotesque experiments or risk being expelled from the country. Dipple wouldn't give in, so he was exiled. He was rumored to have been later poisoned in Sweden. Real-life Frankenstein? Maybe Jonathan Dipple? 740-383-9944. Also, don't forget tomorrow, the Protector Show debuts. The Protector Show, 11:10 a.m. here and every Friday on WWGH Radio. The Protector Show with Ed Johnston. Adam Lepp will co-host and produce the program, a show about online safety. Each and every Friday morning, The Protector Show, starting tomorrow morning. 35 minutes past the hour, we're going to take a quick break, come back with much more here on WWGH Radio after this.
Stop, listen, find yourself a chair. You're about to listen to the best show on the air. You'll love Charlie Evan. Can't wait to hear Scott Spears. You'll cherish Mary Ann Michaels. Quite a lady, that's for sure. So listen to the Exchange Club for topics close to you. Discuss local topics, national topics too.
Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on there on 2020 on the $10 bill. And this summer, they are going to poll people in the United States to see who should go on there. But it will be the first woman on the currency in like 120 years or something.
Well, the women that they've come up with wouldn't really make a bill very good looking. I mean, the women did a lot of good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but they're kind of...
Well, wait a second. What are you saying?
If they put somebody like Marilyn Monroe or something.
Go ahead and say it. You don't want Eleanor Roosevelt's mug on the $10 bill.
Well, and Rosa Parks, and who else?
Won't they airbrush them before they put them on the bill?
I mean, can you imagine flipping out a bill and there's a ugly face looking at you?
Now, wait a second, Charlie.
Well, I think it's about that a woman gets... on some...
Yeah, if they put somebody good-looking on there.
Oh, dear.
Who? Somebody that is famous. Somebody
they have to be dead.
Everything from drug lords and things that we can share. We'll even discuss the presidents and Hillary Clinton's hair.
What do you make of Trump, Charlie? You didn't jump in. You did the wife thing there, but
he's an egotistical jerk.
What do you really think about him?
But he knows enough to make millions. I guess we can't put him down for that.
We can't put him down
because we don't know how much he owes.
He would not have a chance. I'm sorry, at an office. He's got a lot of money
that
he can put behind him. But how many people would vote for him? I don't think very many.
So stop. Listen and find yourself a chair. You're about to listen to the best show anywhere.
Every Friday, 12:10 until 1 p.m. Supported by Kroger right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Streaming live at WWGH1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here on this Thursday, January the 4th, 39 minutes past the hour, and we are now joined from the breakfast table by one of my favorite people, legendary comedian, Shecky Green. Shecky, how are you?
I'm all right. Are you talking to me or talking to somebody else or what?
I'm talking to you now.
No, okay. Is there snow on the ground? Is there any to be found?
Oh,
is it cold where you are, my friend?
It is cold. It is zero.
because I'm an LV, and you want to hear a degree? It's 43. You can take it from me. So, what else can I say as we begin the day? I'm sitting in a casino. It's true. And all I'm going to do is wait just to talk to you. Okay.
Well, Shecky,
that's what you call rap.
Yes, yes. Shecky, what are you having for breakfast this morning?
What am I having for breakfast?
Yes.
A telephone, because somebody handed me the telephone, and I haven't ordered breakfast yet.
Right now,
but we're at a casino called, what is this casino called?
Sunset Station.
The Sunset Station.
We're doing a show.
What?
Now, do you like to go to the casino, Shecky?
No, I don't like to go to casinos. From the time I came to this town, 1953, when I started really gambling, and then I learned to drink. I never had a drink before until I came to work in 1953. And I was working at a place called the Last Frontier Hotel, and my picture was on the marquee, and my picture was at the police station. And I did more work at the police station than I did at the nightclub.
So,
can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
I watched this town grow. I watched this town grow and grow and grow, and I haven't bought a thing. Not yet. I want to see which way it's going. Those people have become multi-millionaires, and I don't even have a multi.
Not even a multi.
I came into this town, I told everybody, I called my business manager, and I said, George, let's buy some property in Vegas. He says, why? He says, it'll be a ghost town. I said, more ghosts are moving in every day.
Well, when you go to the casino, Shecky, what games do you like to play?
No, I don't play anything anymore. I play horses. That's really not a game. I look when they're coming out, and any horse with three legs, I bet. Why should I make them use four legs?
Now, Shecky, I was reading, you worked with Elvis Presley, did you not?
No, I didn't work with Elvis. Elvis Presley was my opening act in 1956. Was my opening act.
Now tell me about him.
I'm being very brash right now because I am 91, and there was a time I'd be very humble and say, yes, I worked with him. But he was my opening act in 1956.
What did you make of him back then?
I never knew what happened to his career. What had happened to him?
Yeah, whatever became of Elvis?
Now, let me tell you a story about Elvis. It's very interesting, and I think you people will like. I was working with Elvis Presley, and Bing Crosby and I were very close friends. Bing came in to see me work and to see Elvis Presley. And Elvis Presley came out with a jacket, a baseball jacket. That's the way he worked with four guys behind him. And we had an X in the lounge. They were much better. I mean, they dressed in the lounge and everything else. And he came out, and it was like, I said, well, he'll be around for about a week. And Bing Crosby says to me, he is going to be the biggest star in show business. I said, Bing. And he said, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I had that translated. And he says that he's going to be the biggest star. I said, what did you see that I didn't see? But he became the biggest star.
He certainly did. Who did you like working with the most, Shecky?
You know something? Everybody I work with, I like. I was a very fortunate person to be in show business because I really didn't want show business. I wanted to be a coach. I went to college to be a coach. And then one day I walked through the door at college and kept walking right to the back door and never went back again. This is a true story. I was going to a college, and I went in. When you bought your books, you could sell them back. That was on the GI plan. So I went in, I bought it. I said, what's that book? It was the biggest book on the shelf. They said, that's geology. I said, I'll take that. They said, you can't take it. They don't teach geology at Wright Junior College. I says, well, how much will I get if I bring the book back? I said, $14. I said, give me that book. I bought that book for I got $14 back. I brought the book back. I got $14, and I never went back to school again, as God is my judge.
You worked with Frank Sinatra. What was Sinatra like?
Sinatra, I didn't close for. you know, forgive me for saying, I can't give away all these secrets now that how Sinatra was. I mean, if you can pick up any book, Kitty Kelly's book, any book, there was 10 Sinatras. I mean, you get a good side, a bad side, a double bad side, a triple bad side, a good side, very charitable, not very charitable. I mean, he just was, you know, just strange. But at that time, I was stranger than he was. I had a good side, I had a bad side, I had three bad sides. Alcohol will do strange things to people.
Well, how did you get off of the alcohol?
What?
How did you stop doing the alcohol?
How I stopped it, they gave me a pill. I forget what the pill was called, but if you take the pill, they say you die. So I had a friend of mine that I was drinking with. I wanted to see if it worked. I gave him the pill. So then I had to get another friend.
Oh, boy.
Are you having a good time?
I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time.
I love Ohio. Ohio, I was a guy. My God.
Shecky, you were making a lot of money in Las Vegas. What was that like in those days?
To make that kind of money?
Yeah, make the big money.
Well, you know what? It's for me to even say it, because I got two wives that helped take it, the dollar by dollar they took it. House by house, dollar by dollar, and car by car, I saw it go. And all I was left with was two adopted children, which took the pride and joy of my life.
Do you miss show business?
Ah.
Do you miss getting up on stage?
No. Because what happens now is I sit at a breakfast table and a guy calls me from Ohio and I do my act.
Well,
I'm talking to Ohio. Hi there, friend.
Well, that's what we like to hear. Shecky, tell us some more stories about Ed Sullivan.
Ray and I share Chucky, whatever his name is. And I want to say, let me tell you something. I had experience with Ed Sullivan to write two books. One show, he says to me, cut down your act. So I says, what do you mean? He says, go from 8 minutes to 2 minutes. Well, nobody could do 2 minutes, you know. I couldn't, well, I go. I did that on my honeymoon. That's right. I had 2 minutes on my... Anyway, I cut down everything, and I took the microphone stand, and I did all kinds of things with... And I says, a miner buried under tons and tons of coal. And I looked down, and I said, you wouldn't hurt it with soft coal. What's that? The bird died? That's a gas. And I did jokes like that. And at the same time, there was a mine disaster in Nova Scotia. And when I walked off the stage, he blamed me. You dirty rat, you just lost me Canada. But I had about five of those things with that. So, and near the end, then I became a very good friend because he was lonely. His wife had died, Sylvia. And he was really left alone, but he was something else.
He seems like something else.
You know, I want to tell you something. I got to take you and give you 2 minutes. I got to give the elephant 8 minutes. They had to give the elephant 8 minutes. My God. I was defeated by a trunk.
Now, you work with a lot of the great people in late night. Did you like working with those guys, Johnny Carson?
Let me tell you something. They just interviewed me for Johnny Carson. Somebody's writing a book. I've talked about Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson was an underproof. Not Johnny Carson was brilliant, but you didn't know who Johnny Carson was. You couldn't get close to him. And the bigger he got, the more in the background. You couldn't really do things, you know, with Johnny. You couldn't say, come on, let's go out and have a good time, you know. Because he drank too, and that was him drinking, me drinking, other people we knew drinking, forget about it. But Johnny was all right. But one of my favorites was Merv Griffin, and Steve Allen was one of, and Mike, but you couldn't really get into Carson. Carson was like, I don't know. He was a loner.
He certainly was. Who did you pal around with when you were at the height of your career?
Never pal around people in show business. I pal around with people in sports. And let's see, who were lawyers, because of my ex-wives. A lot of lawyers. There were lawyers who trust me money. I had to pay off each and every honey. Let me tell you all the trouble that, okay.
Well, Shecky,
you got me. You got me on the real thing. As I said before, I'm high right now on what's the aspirin? What's that? Bear? Forget it.
Bear?
No, not bear. Okay, I was going to make a joke, but I forgot it. That's what happens when you get 91.
It sounds like there's a lot of commotion there. What's going on at the casino?
No, there's this guy sitting here. Say hello again, guys. That's all my guys. One guy's eating eggs. The other guy's got cereal. Okay.
Well, Shecky, you have made it to 91 years old. What's the secret to make it to 91?
The secret to make it to 91 is get 590.
Do you have an exercise routine? Do you eat special food?
No, let me tell you something. I broke my leg about in April. And I went to a doctor. We got doctors in this town. Somebody says, when you go to a doctor, go right to the airport. Because we got doctors in this town. Can I tell you, they must have been ex-gamblers or something. Because they're all mad when they work on you. And every doctor in this town, nobody's got a name. You sit in an office and you wait for them to say next. And 20 people get up. Now everybody's next.
Well, how does the leg feel now?
You know what that is? It's sitting in the doctor's office and everybody's old.
No,
okay, next. And there was, I think he runs shoe. No, he runs, she runs, he runs a sit down here. This is a town, could I tell you something? I don't know how it got this big.
It's a happening town. What was it like to work with Milton Berle?
Well, I never worked with Burl. Burl and I were very close friends, and Burl stole one of my best jokes. And I always remember that. Every time I walked in, I said, want to tell a joke or should I tell the joke?
You know, Shecky, I heard that Martha Ray stole jokes.
Oh, let me tell you. I went to work with Martha Ray years ago in Florida, a place called the 5 O'Clock Club. She would just have comedians come in, so she would watch their act, and then she'd book some. She would do their act. So I used to do a French routine. She took that. When I came back to work with her, they said, don't do that. Martha's doing that, you know. So I taught my ex-wife how to do my act, and so I didn't have to pay so much alimony. She was better than I was.
You know, Shecky, the big news
well,
this...
You got me on a good morning, I'll tell you that.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
My material today is good for Illinois, but I don't know about Ohio.
It's playing okay in Ohio. I think we're doing okay.
Tell me, is it cold there?
Oh, it is so cold. It's about 1 degree.
And Trump says that there's nothing to do with the... What does he call it?
Global warming.
Thank you very much. I have my assistant. Global warming.
That's correct.
Yeah, that Trump has got global warming right now.
Yeah, he's got a...
There's a storm over his home.
He's got a... What do you make of this book coming out about him?
Oh, I love it. I got it. They said they're trying to get the book back, but I'm going to go get the book. But I'm going to tell you... I go to a psychiatrist, and today I couldn't go because they said Trump is going first. Let me tell you something. It was a joke that he got in. I don't care. Forgive me, people in Ohio, everybody that voted for him. But it's a joke that he got in, and he didn't even think he was going to get in. It's frightening, and it's frightening what's happening to this wonderful, wonderful country. Afghanistan and all these places are on the second page. Trump is on the first page. There's something wrong with this country. And that banyan, they should cut down all the banyan trees. But from the very beginning, when I saw banyan, I said, just you know, that this was, it was frightening.
He's a little bit of a scary character.
You see, I don't do any political humor in my act. And I really didn't like guys that did that kind of thing. But now there's nothing else to talk about. You know, that's number one.
Hey, well, what do you make? They just legalized marijuana in California.
Yeah, I never smoked marijuana, ever. I mean, it was tough enough getting by alcohol. But I mean, what's to be is to be. I mean, we're seeing things happening in this country, in this world today, that we never thought possible. You know, never thought that I'd be married to the same girl 37 years.
I spoke with her this morning.
Yes, and I'm keeping her because she's paying me.
What are your days like today, Shecky? What are you going to do today?
What is that, what?
How are you going to spend the day after you leave the casino?
I'm going to have a little breakfast with the boys, and then I'm going to go play a couple of horses, because I'm in the casino, so I'll go play a couple of horses, and then I'll go home, and...
See your dog.
It's just really nothing. There's, you know, I really can't walk too well with this leg. I really got a great doctor. I should have known when I went to this doctor that he wasn't going to help me, because his seeing eye dog couldn't bring me into the right office.
So do you have any hobbies besides the horses?
Yeah. You know, that's funny. What hobbies? No, not really. No.
Do you like to watch anything on television?
No, television's driving me crazy. I watch a football game, then I watch another one, and it's like the same games now. You know? So I put on dark glasses, so they're all wearing the same jerseys.
So how do you spend...
I like that. That's funny.
So what do you do at night at home? You have no hobbies. You're not watching television. What do you do?
It's very boring. Can I tell you, get me something, anything. Send me something from Ohio.
Have to send something over for
him. What's his name is from Cleveland. The nice kid that I like. He's doing one of those game shows.
Oh, Drew Carey. Drew Carey.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't quite. That's another thing. I'm having a little trouble with my hearing.
Well, it's kind of loud there, so I think you're okay.
Yeah, when I sing, I don't even hear myself anymore. You called me from Ohio. What a beautiful state to be in. You called me from Ohio. I wonder when this is going to begin. Okay.
Beautiful, beautiful. When you were two...
I used to sing in church when I was a little kid. I lived in a Catholic neighborhood. I was being Jewish, and they used to take me to sing in the Catholic church.
Ah. Now, you at one point got to meet the Pope, did you not?
Yes, I actually met the Pope, the one Pope, before he died. He became a Pope, and I think he lasted about 3 months. And they had all the little towns from Italy, and he was blessing them. And he would go, Spiritus Sanctus, and then he'd run out of air, and he'd go to sit down, and the bishop would pick him up to talk to the kids again, another group of kids. He would go, Spiritus, and they'd pick him up, and they'd have to go again. And the bell would ring, ding, ding. So I ran up there real quick. I said, Mike, I'd save him. So I started doing it. I'm getting crazy now.
Shecky, did you ever meet any of our presidents?
I met Reagan, yes.
What was Reagan like?
I met Reagan before Reagan was, he was still an actor when I met Reagan. But Reagan was wonderful.
And you have met President Trump.
Reagan should have lived and taught Trump how to smile.
What is going on with President Trump's hair? What do you make of that hairstyle he has?
That hairstyle is good. It keeps birds warm. At 4 o'clock o'clock in the afternoon, all the birds fly into his hair and they get warm. I mean, can I tell you something? That's the living proof of how narcissistic he is. Why don't he wears that overcoat, that same overcoat, that black overcoat?
Uh-huh.
Which he's gonna trip coming down from the plane one day on that overcoat. But he should wear a cap. He does wear a cap, but he should wear a hat.
Well, what do you call that? Is that a comb over? What kind of hairstyle is that?
We would call it in Jewish a mishadas.
What does that mean?
A mishadas means mixed up. Everything mixed up.
Well, he's got a nice wife.
And the wife looks like she's had it already. This is a terrible thing. I'm going to get a lot of letters on him. I'm telling you, in 6 months to a year, she is going to divorce him. Remember that I said it on your air.
You think that she's going to divorce the president?
She's going to... What's her name?
Melania.
Melania. That sounds Jewish. Hello, how are you? My name is Melania. Who gave you that name? Putin gave me the name. Putin gave me Yehapotsky, the Russian.
Now, why do you feel that marriage is in trouble?
Because they don't sleep together, that's number one. She sleeps in a separate bedroom. I know she called me one day, and I said, I can't make it. Anyway, she sleeps in a separate, and they don't hold hands anymore. When they walk down the stairs, you notice that she keeps throwing his hand off. Watch that.
They do have an interesting relationship.
Well, I mean, when you're that much in love with yourself, and he is. Well, I mean, I think the kids are wonderful for having that kind of a daddy, but they're all going to be in trouble.
Well,
it's a crime, but they are all going to be in trouble.
Shecky, we're just about out of time here. Do you want to end with a song?
You want me to end with a song and finish? I've been on too long, but don't you worry. People will recall everything I said. Don't you worry. You've got a radio show, and I became one of the stars. May I tell you, Scott and Sean, I really don't know how far I'm gonna go and say goodbye to you. It's been wonderful, okay?
Perfect. Shecky Green, the one and only. We'll talk soon, Shecky. Take care.
Can I tell you, I love you guys, and I love everybody in Ohio. I love Ohio.
I love you, Shecky. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And on that note, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Bing needs. Telephone number... 740